Hey gang, the podcast starts in a moment, but first, today's podcast is brought to you by the Prime original series, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, from executive producers Amy Sherman-Palladino and Daniel Palladino, starring Rachel Brosnahan, Alex Borstein, and Tony Shalhoub, winner of 2 Golden Globes and now nominated for 14 Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Comedy Series and Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series for Rachel Brosnahan's performance as Midge Maisel. Open your heart to the show. IndieWire calls so charming, so smart, and so exuberantly feminine. Consider it marvelous in all categories, including Outstanding Comedy Series.
Hello, Michael. We are in the middle of the Screen Talk Emmy edition, first week of actual Emmy voting, which began yesterday on Monday. And we are going to go through the comedy categories. And I'm Ann Thompson of IndieWire, editor at large. And we're going to start with comedy guest actor. But before we do, I'm just curious, you've been picking up a couple of anonymous Oscar ballots, and I'm just curious what you're learning from them.
They're kind of all over the map right now. It's interesting. There's definitely a mix in both the drama and comedy category. Some people really strong for Atlanta, some people really strong for Mrs. Maisel. And drama, there's also a big mix of Game of Thrones and Handmaid's Tale.
Kind of knew those were the races.
There's actually a strong sort of contingency of people who love Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, who I love too. But, it does feel like that show's been off the air for a while now. So it's kind of interesting that we would have gotten so many people who are still, really in awe of her, which, granted, she played like dozens.
How many?
Basically, we're doing we should tell people first, we're doing the comedy performers this week, and next week we'll hit drama and limited series performers. But this week, let's talk about the folks with the yucks.
Okay, so I'm looking at Gold Derby, which what's interesting about this to me is that when we were in the debating the nominations and who would get what and everything, on this very site, Gold Derby, it wasn't understood at that time that Bill Hader was a definite nominee. I mean, what I find interesting is that now he's been nominated because it's a first time, but Saturday Night Live, there it is, right at the top. He's like heading the whole pack. Or was he always going to be in here for Saturday Night Live? It was his other show that he was not necessarily going to be nominated for.
I don't know. I mean, Barry obviously is one of the big shows of the revelations of this year. So I think there was always a thought that he was in the hunt for Barry. Guest actor is a little harder because there are so many possibilities, so many potential nominees. And with the SNL guest actors especially, that's for hosting for the most part. And they have a lot of hosts every year too. So
rises to the top? So in this case, we've got Donald Glover and Bill Hader.
Yeah, as SNL hosts. But then you've got guests from Curb Your Enthusiasm and Lin-Manuel Miranda and Bryan Cranston. And you've got Sterling K. Brown from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, who played a bad guy in the show. Sort of nice to see Sterling, play the villain. And then you had Cat Williams, who played Alligator Man on Atlanta, also a kind of iconic role for a comic legend. So it is an interesting mix.
So who do you give the advantage to? Maybe because he has so much heat, it's Bill Hader.
Well, I think Donald Glover's got a lot of heat. So,
but isn't he going to get rewarded for his own show? In some regard, he's up for several categories, isn't he?
So if people vote that way, then if they don't want to give him both awards, then maybe it goes to Bill Hader. Maybe it goes to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who people really love. Bryan Cranston, obviously, is a favorite, and then of course Sterling K. Brown, a huge favorite, who picks up almost anything. So, there's a good chance that one of these winners may end up taking home 2 trophies.
All right. So then we move on to a similar situation with guest actress for comedy. Again, you've got two Saturday Night Live contestants, if you like, hosts at the top, the indefatigable favorite Tina Fey, who never fails to delight, and Tiffany Haddish.
Haddish, yeah, she's, it's Tiffany Haddish's world, and we're all living in it right now. So that could
Those
be
of us who
a
know how to
factor.
pronounce her name.
But it's it's a good time to be her. But of course, Tina Fey is formidable. You got Jane Lynch from Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and if the voters are really feeling Mrs. Maisel, perhaps.
She does a great turn, I have to say. She plays a comedian, an old school comedian who puts on sort of big clothes and down, kind of Phyllis Diller type, who really makes fun of herself and puts herself down and is hugely popular. And turns out to be this sort of, it's a great turn. It's a great turn. I'm not going to give it away.
But so you have her, you have Molly Shannon from Will and Grace, Wanda Sykes from Blackish, and Maya Rudolph from The Good Place. Again, all very likable, very well-known names.
All stars.
Interesting, how the SNL camp provided several of these names: Maya Rudolph, Tina Fey, Molly Shannon, alums from that world in the guest actress category. So there's another tough one to decide, but you probably got to give it to Tina Fey just because people, really love Tina Fey. She's one of the best. So.
But isn't there I mean, I say this every time, but isn't there a point where you go, okay, been there, done that, let's give it to somebody new? Let's give it to this fabulous young Tiffany Haddish.
Could be. I mean, that's a real possibility as well.
Yeah, let's see what happens. All right, then we go on to the extraordinary leading men here. Supporting, now, these are the real supporting actors who actually have more time, is what they are. So we have Sean Hayes didn't get in, so it's Titus Burgess.
Yeah, by the way, a surprise with Sean Hayes. He was the number one pick by Gold Derby voters to get in, and I guess the Will and Grace sheen only went so far. So yeah, he didn't get in, but Titus Burgess, who's been a favorite, been nominated many, many times.
So in this situation, Alec Baldwin, because he comes back and does it so often, gets to be an actual supporting actor for playing Donald Trump on Saturday Night
Yeah,
Live.
there's the 50% rule. If
Right.
you've been on more than 50%, then you are definitely a cast member, basically, even if you're not officially called a cast member. So in this case, he was on enough episodes that
You
yeah,
got in.
he's a
So then we
supporting
have
actor.
Louis Anderson, who won for Baskets, playing a woman, right? The mom.
Yeah, Louis Anderson's been a favorite for a while, and fantastic turn as Christine Baskets on Baskets. He's won in the past. Now, Alec Baldwin won last year, so you do have several actually returning winners here.
Tony Shalhoub has won in the past, but not for this particular role,
Right.
which is new, as the father on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. He's wonderful. I guess I would make the argument that he has a Tony, so he might win this. I would like to think that quality counts.
And then you got Brian Tyree Henry, who is just fantastic and had a great season on Atlanta as Paperboy. And then you've got the sentimental favorite in Henry Winkler, who is never he's never won an Emmy. He's been nominated, but has never won. He just
He's
earned
very good on
tons of
this, on
raves for
Barry.
Barry.
Yep, very good. I could see that. I could see that happening. It's the sort of thing the Emmys would do. I'm so mean. I'm so bad. All right. But I mean, it just feels like a popularity contest, finally. Comedy supporting actress. This would be another Saturday Night Live character, Kate McKinnon.
Yep, she won last year, so she's the incumbent. So very much the favorite. Megan Mullally is in the mix. Finally, we get some Will and Grace Love. She's nominated. Alex Borstein from The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And then the interesting one, Laurie Metcalf, who, despite all the craziness going on with Roseanne, managed to still get a nomination for Roseanne. She, of course, will be back next year on The Conners.
But she won a Tony. She was nominated for an Oscar for Lady Bird.
She's always having a great year. She's been a favorite for a long time, so not a surprise there. Leslie Jones from SNL, nominated last year, nominated again this year. And Betty Gilpin from GLOW, also nominated. Zazie Beetz from Atlanta, and Edie Bryant from SNL.
Wow. That is a lot. I would say I agree with you, though.
It's all about Kate McKinnon.
It'll be Kate McKinnon. And then we have comedy actor with all right, so this was won, as I recall, and tell me I'm crazy, by Donald Glover last year.
Yes, yes.
So is he going to do it again?
I would say yes. I think he's going to. I mean, especially this year, you know, he did some really amazing things on the show, and just, you know, he's on fire right now. He's Donald Glover. He can do no wrong. So,
yeah, he's in the zone.
Without a doubt, he's back up there.
What about Anthony Anderson? Blackish is a very popular show. Is it too little, too late?
Well, I think also there's the issue of Anthony Anderson being in the headlines for all the wrong reasons right now, being investigated by the L.A. Sheriff's Department for allegations of battery. So I think that's definitely
not
hurts.
Good.
That definitely hurts his chances at this point. But, you know, he was always a semi-contender, but Donald Glover was always going to dominate this category. Now, you do have Bill Hader, you know, and you know, Barry obviously was fantastic, as we keep saying. William H. Macy, who's a perennial favorite, constantly nominated. You got the return of Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Very popular.
And then you've got National Treasure Ted Danson for The Good Place.
Indeed. Again, these are very popular people, except for, at the moment, Anthony Anderson. I think Bill Hader's too new, right? And you're right. It'll be Donald Glover, I'm sure. Okay, you have convinced me. we will now move on to the comedy actress category, where a newbie could be the winner, as she was at the Golden Globes, Rachel Brosnahan.
Yeah. And I think, you know, because Julie Louis-Dreyfus is not in competition this year, as we know, Veep is on hiatus, this opens the door for Rachel Brosnahan to come in. And I think she's definitely the front runner. I mean,
that's a tour de force. I mean, it's also one of the great Hollywood actress coming into her own stories, as far as someone who we didn't see as a leading lady, a comedian, someone who could pull off a role like this the way she did. I mean, she does. She's sexy. She's tough. She's vulnerable. She's a daughter. She's a wife. She's a comedian. She's everything. It's really well done.
Yeah. Great character, great actress. And Amazon is definitely, putting a lot of money behind this campaign. So even if Mrs. Maisel doesn't win for Best Comedy, Rachel Brosnahan, I believe, is a shoo-in for Best Actress.
So Tracee Ellis Ross was up last year.
Yep, she's still in the mix.
Allison Janney for Mom, she was up last year. Allison Brie for GLOW. That didn't happen.
She did not make it.
So Lily Tomlin made it for Grace,
yeah, Grace and
Frankie. Yeah,
Grace and Frankie. She was also nominated last year.
And then Pamela Adlon for Better Things also.
Yeah, also from last year. And then Issa Rae from Insecure made it in this year. So
again,
another great group. So yeah. This is the first year for Issa Rae. So that's
fantastic.
I thought
she was up. She never got nominated last year?
No, not for Best Actress.
Interesting. All right. And then we have, this is why you are the expert. We're not going to do comedy series. We're going to save that for another day.
Yeah, that's going to be in a couple of weeks. But While we're here, I mean, we should talk about the big news of the week, what people are still talking about, right? The whole
are we going over to the
rule changes
for the Oscar side?
Yeah. Because I think it still has ramifications for the Emmys as well. But it's all people in the awards community has been talked about the past week, and I know you had some strong opinions about this, and it just does seem like they handled this about as poorly as possibly could have been handled, right?
They seem to be, it's so interesting talking to them. It's like they had this crazy barnstorming Board of Governors meeting where they got carried away. And yes, they need to make the show shorter. Fine, make it 3 hours. I'm not as upset about the craft categories being filmed live during the commercials and then edited for the cast so that you don't have all the people walking up and down the aisle. You know, you can have them accepting their award and the sound guy's going to be there and the shorts people that you've never heard of, but it'll be shorter. And I actually like that. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I think they were right not to do what the Emmys do, which is to put it on different days. The Emmys have so many categories.
Yeah.
You know, the Oscars only have 24, so you know it's really not that bad. But in this situation, it was really the good, you know, the best popular film idea that they did not sketch out and explain. That was the problem, and a lot of people are upset.
Yeah, and I think part of it is, you know, first of all, it's a terrible name for a category. It doesn't sound elegant. It's just, you know, best popular
movie. It's about the wrong thing. I mean, it could be about big budgets, or it could be about scale or scope, or it could be about genre. It could be about any number of things, but to make it about popularity, how do you measure that? Box office. And box office is already measured. We know what the big hits are.
Yeah. And the fact that they didn't have any answers, it was part of the problem, too.
No, their problem is they seem to feel very strongly that they're just going to sit it out and none of them, I've checked with my colleagues, nobody got on the phone. I mean, the president and the CEO of the Academy did not see fit to get on the phone and talk to the press about this. And they're going to wait until they have it all figured out, and then they're going to tell us what it is, and then we're going to have another round of complaints, but at least we'll know. It's supposed to come in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, it's amazing how poorly they handled this. But
because they're getting is slammed. All these people are going on their sites and hammering out articles, speculating wildly about what the rules are going to be or what movies could be eligible when they don't even know what the rules are. I have to say, I have not done this.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, on the TV side, obviously, this has been the debate for years as well. How do you get more people to watch the Emmys when most of the shows being awarded these days are these smaller shows that not as many people have seen? And it kind of runs into the same problem. Well, how do you fix that? You know, you can't just create a broadcast category because then you're segregating platforms for no good reason other than platforms. But, you know, a lot of the biggest shows on TV, like The Walking Dead or NCIS, also aren't necessarily the most critically acclaimed. So maybe they don't deserve awards. But that means that fewer people are going to watch because they don't see the shows that they watch on the Emmys. Should it be a popularity contest, or should it really be about the best of the best and ratings be damned? Well, these are businesses. And
they're chasing ratings. They're really scared. Even though I think 26.6 million is a lot, you did a good story about the traffic issues with the Oscars. And I think that I would prefer to see them embrace what the Oscars really mean to the people who care about the Oscars rather than trying to pull young people in or trying to broaden the viewership. They recognize that bringing in blockbusters is the best way to bring in more viewers so that they have a rooting interest in a movie that might actually win the Oscar. But I don't think creating this category is going to take care of that.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, it'll help with some of the viewership, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, people have moved on. They're not watching as much, you know, they're not watching award shows anymore. They're not watching linear TV as much anymore. So no matter what you do, that Sunday night, you're going to have a huge chunk of people who just, you know, aren't watching the Oscars.
Well, the movies are no longer a national conversation. There aren't that many movies that, unless they're Marvel, that's what they're figuring out. It reflects what the studios are actually making.
Yeah,
you know, and if they want to make big budget, spectacularly excellent movies that appeal to adults, that are really high quality, that are not comic book movies, I wish they would.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Titanic looks good in retrospect, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, 55 million people watched the Oscars that year, but you know, again, that was a different time. They had nothing else to do that night.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks, Anne.
Bye-bye.